Lord, I pray that these words will be yours and not just mine. Amen. Good morning. I suppose some of you may be feeling a sense of déjà vu about the gospel reading that we just heard. And I'm not just talking about anybody who might have been at the 9 o'clock service here a bit earlier. I'm talking about the fact that it's the same passage as the one assigned for today in our Lenten study. So if any of you are doing the Lenten study on a daily basis, and if you happen to have done it already this morning, you will have come across this piece of John's Gospel already today. And I wonder what you decided that God was saying to you through this passage. So I'm aware that some of you may be a bit ahead of me on this. In this passage, Jesus is having quite a spat with the Jewish religious leaders. Now, John in his gospel tends to call the religious leaders simply the Jews, which is his shorthand for the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of the time. And the argument that he was having was about paternity. Yes, paternity. You see, the point Jesus was making that there was a contradiction here. The Jews claimed that God was their father was being contradicted by their actions. On the one hand, they were opposing and threatening Jesus, and on the other hand, they were claiming that God was the father, their father, and the source of their legitimacy. And by the way, I am sorry for the rather sexist language we're involved in here, but things were different back then. For a lot of the Jews, their religion was all about their descent from the patriarch Abraham. So in their minds, if you were a descendant of Abraham, you were one of the chosen people and you were okay, otherwise not. And listening to God and doing what God wanted hardly came into it for many of them. So here Jesus asserts the fact that he is the one doing God's will, while they have proved that they are following the lead of the devil by attacking him. And he finishes off, as you remember, was just read, he finishes off what to me is a sort of a thunderous denunciation. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. When I read that, it had sort of echoes in my mind of the thunderous oratory of Martin Luther King. You remember how he stood in front of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington and delivered his famous "I Have a Dream" speech? It has that sort of ring for me. Jesus comes back to this theme of hearing God's voice and doing God's will quite often in his teaching. For instance, he says in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." I think we can take it that repetition gives the point added importance. The more often something appears in the Bible, the more perhaps we should pay attention to it. Okay, so what's the lesson for ourselves? What is the takeaway from this story? Well, one place to start is the title that I was given for this sermon. The title is Kids of the Right God. And Kids of the Right God points us to this fundamental point that there are two ways. There's God's way and there's the non-God way, what Jesus would have called the devil's way. We have to belong to one side or the other. Now, my problem with this is that, you know, you think of the devil, some translations, it's Satan. And you don't hear a lot about this in churches nowadays. Well, I haven't heard a lot about the devil or Satan. It doesn't really mean a great deal to me. So what I suggest we need to find is a modern example of the sort of moral bad choice that Jesus was talking about. We need an example of where people who are supposed to get it right, like the Pharisees, instead get it very wrong. To find my example, I'd like you to come with me on a journey of the imagination. We are going to the United States of America, to the state of Georgia, and to the city of Atlanta. And we are going to roll back time to the year 1962. Now, as I've already mentioned Martin Luther King once, it won't probably be a total surprise that when I set this in Atlanta, Georgia in 1962, it's going to involve Martin Luther King, and it does. I suppose we tend to think of Martin Luther King as a civil rights leader, which he certainly was. But he was first and foremost a much-loved pastor of a black Baptist church and a brilliant preacher of the gospel. He actually got into the civil rights movement almost by accident. One day his friends wanted someone to chair a civil rights meeting, and he was the only person available. Now, after Martin Luther King started campaigning for civil rights, a delegation of the clergy from a number of white churches came to see him. These white Christian leaders told him that he was in too much of a hurry to get rid of racial segregation. They quoted the Bible to him. They said he was wrong to be involved in the civil rights movement and that he should leave politics to the politicians. And he had just one thing to say to them in reply. If I'm wrong, God himself is wrong. And in the years that followed, many of those same church, white church leaders admitted that they were in fact the ones who'd been wrong about Martin Luther King and civil rights. And they changed tack, and as a result, that city of Atlanta is a very different city today from the city of 1962. The point of the story, what made Martin Luther King in tune, was that he was only interested in knowing God's will. He had his eyes fixed on God. He didn't have his eyes fixed on the politics of the day, not even on what some other good Christian people thought, but on God. This, to me, is a lovely image, to have your eyes fixed on God. And it appears in quite a few places in the Bible. Just give you two examples. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. That's the first. The other one is Psalm 141, which has the same idea when it says, for my eyes are on you, my God. Now, our choices are not always easy or obvious. It sometimes takes courage, and it often takes a lot of hard prayer and thought. But if we do fix our eyes on Jesus, if we do choose God's way, we will be recognized by the true God as his children, children of the true God. Now, I find that hugely reassuring and a great blessing to know that. And the example of Jesus is not far away, it's right there in front of us. Jesus fixed his eyes on his Father, prayed to him, and was strengthened by him. He was as close to his Father as you'd hope any father and son would be. And this relationship can be ours too. We can enjoy those same blessings, find that same strength, and know that same truth. We just have to fix our eyes on Jesus and follow in his footsteps. Amen.